I got a question for you on, you know, when we're renting our funeral home on Saturday and Sunday, the 5th and the 6th, can we, right now, I don't see anybody else scheduled in the evening. Can we just leave our stuff set up?
I'm going to call the Tuesday, October 25th, 2016 Prudential Committee meeting to order. Is anyone recording? Amy Cates is recording. Got Mrs. Introductions.
Laurie Hadley, Prudential Committee.
Dan Goldstein, Prudential Committee. Charlie
Report. Fran Parks, Prudential. Is there any public comment?
Amy Cates, Public Comment, Prudential Committee, October 25th, 2016. I'd like to go on record with the facts that led me to file an open meeting complaint on July 22nd. First, I attended the Kootenai Fire District's annual meeting in May. During that meeting, the residents of Kootenai voted on articles presented in the warrant. Each article was read and included a statement of approval from the Prudential Committee. Those statements of approval perplexed me. I had attended all Prudential Committee meetings, but never recalled each article being discussed, a motion made, or a vote taken for reconsideration. Secondly, during the June 27th meeting, Ms. Parks read a letter that she had written to the Attorney General's office in response to an open meeting complaint filed by another Kootenai resident. In her response, Ms. Parks stated that the committee discussed and voted on the warrant articles at a meeting held on May 16th. Neither Mrs. Hadley nor Mr. Goldstein corrected Ms. Park's statement regarding the May 16th meeting. I knew that her statement of those facts had never occurred at any meeting that I had attended, but I took her statement as fact. Because I'm diligent with checking on the posting of meetings, I didn't understand how I could have missed a meeting that was held on May 16th. Upon further investigation, I determined that the reason I had missed the meeting was because it had never been properly posted by the committee. It was for that reason that I filed an open meeting complaint. I'm now at a loss. I've been informed that the open meeting violation has not occurred. The determination letter states that Ms. Parks had made a mistake and intended to reference a meeting held on May 9th. If that is indeed the facts, why did the committee hire Attorney Boudreau to answer my complaint to the Attorney General's office instead of just responding to me that Ms. Parks had made a mistake and that there never was a meeting held on May 16th, which would have probably been the proper procedure? Also, I would like the committee to do some soul searching and think about when, if ever, they discussed recommending those warrant articles or Ms. Parks' written response to the Attorney General answering the first open meeting complaint where Ms. Parks had made her error. And finally, when had the committee discussed, made a motion, and voted to retain Attorney Boudreau to answer the open meeting complaint? I don't recall a motion or a vote. In conclusion, according to our district bylaws, the Prudential Committee failed to do their job with regards to preparing the May 2016 district warrant. Although the committee has not been found to have a violated open meeting law in regards to my July 22nd complaint, I believe that the committee owes me and the Kootenai residents a public apology to include a statement that they will follow the bylaws when preparing next year's warrant, and at their monthly meetings, they will have substantive public discussion, make motions, and take votes prior to any committee actions. Thank you, Amy Cates.
Any response to public comment?
I have a question. In the number of your, when you get up at meetings, when you talk about, like, you talk about Kootenai residents. Are you representing the Kootenai residents?
No. Thank you.
We did. We did.
Wait.
We did.
Are you representing the Kittuah residents?
No.
I would appreciate it whenever you have a problem, whether it's a verbal problem that you need or you're filing an OML complaint, that you represent yourself, not the residents. Because unless you have signed documents saying that you're representing other residents, you're really only representing yourself.
Okay. I don't have a phone number for Mike, so I can't. I'll leave the treasurer's search.
It was 5 o'clock.
No, he knew it was 4.
I would recommend we go through the rest of the
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought I saw his card.
Okay.
So I'll leave the financial software contract till the end also. I just wanted to say I received the Siemens streetlight contract, maintenance contract. it's all basically the same as it always has. I wasn't aware of this, but apparently any fixtures or pieces of equipment or light bulbs that they use to do the repairs, they mark up 25%. Going to be 26%. It's gone up. But other than that, that's the only change in that.
I'm a little, I printed out the stuff, but I'm a little bit out of the loss. The contract, let's say a light goes out.
Correct.
And we report it, and they come and fix it. What does the contract actually cover? Does it cover labor? Does it cover, do they do maintenance? Do they drive around at night, see if lights are out? If they have to replace a light, do they charge us extra? What?
No, they don't, as far as I know, they don't survey the lights to see if any are out. We report it to them. And then they charge us the installation fee for the light and clearly the cost of the light, the replacement.
What if the contract just says that then they're obligated to come and we call them and everything else is a la carte?
Yes. Yeah. Anything else on streetlights? Nope.
We still, and it's Tony that people need to talk to if a light is out, right? They would call Tony?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Next month's meeting is the tax classification, and Jeff has asked if we move the meeting to the 14th. He's meeting with Barnstable the day before or the day after.
Barnstable is planned for the 8th.
Okay, so he's meeting West Barnstable the day before the day after.
So that's when we want, is that just going to be the tax classification or we're going to have a prudential meeting the same night?
We're going to have a regular prudential meeting.
So there won't be another one in that month?
No, that'll be it. Yeah, that'll be better. It'll be, I forgot the date of Thanksgiving, but.
Classification hearing first, because I got to have it.
Right, yeah. We'll have that first.
So it's going to be at 4 p.m.?
What day of the week is that? What day of the week is the 14th?
Tuesday.
Okay.
First Tuesday, the 8th is the second Tuesday, the 15th, so it's got to be a Monday.
It's a Monday, yeah, Monday.
Obviously, I have a little difficulty with dates, so we wouldn't be here tonight. We would have been here last night. I had agreed to work last night, which I never, ever do on a Monday. And I don't think I'll ever do it again.
So do you want to check with Jeff and make sure that, or you want me to check with Jeff and make sure that 4 o'clock's okay?
Okay, yeah.
Okay, all right. And then I wanted to talk about, since we're no longer using the transcription service, which one of the AGs liked very much, Does anybody got any suggestions for a scribe for the committee?
I don't. If you're talking about just transcribing from the recording, it shouldn't be too difficult to find somebody to do it.
Yeah.
But I'm going not to volunteer.
No, I don't want you to volunteer. I don't think a committee member should be doing it. I think we should be focusing on the work of the committee and not on minutes.
Yeah, we could ask the administrative assistant at the fire department, perhaps.
No, they send theirs.
Because she would be working for us.
Right, but they haven't been reported to the AG's office for doing that, so they're still using the transcriptions.
Oh, okay.
Which, just so you know, it's 2 years ago, it was looked into whether or not using transcriptions was not allowed, and apparently Mira Lee said the legal office said it wasn't clear that it wasn't allowed.
I called someone, and I believe it was in the AG's office, and explained that we were starting to doing the recordings, and would it be necessary to have minutes or even publish the transcript? And I said, no. They said, if you've got the recording on the website, that's enough.
Yeah.
But apparently the Secretary of State didn't agree with that.
No, it's not.
Somebody or the other
way around. No, it was Manganaro at the at one of the new people in the open meeting law office. Yeah.
No.
Yes.
Oh, we do. Because I didn't get it.
Yeah, it's was on.
Still on now.
Yeah, Agnes Murray's, which wasn't an open meeting law complaint, but he noted it under that you know the law says that we're supposed to have a summary.
Well, a summary is easy enough to prepare.
So. Well, I'll keep looking and see.
Maybe we need to just advertise for it.
I thought,
there are services, there are Secretary of Service
yeah.
that we can look into.
The other thing is I thought maybe I would call Town Hall and see, see if any of the folks there that do that job might, because they don't need to come, they can just listen to the tape and I can just send it to them in Dropbox.
Yeah.
You know.
So what would be the difference if we hire somebody that evidently you're still using the tapes, right, to somebody to transcribe the notes from?
Yes.
So I'm a little confused. What's the difference between what we're proposing now and what we're doing?
Because somebody, Fran or somebody, is going to have to take the transcription and put it into the form of minutes.
Into a summary.
Into a summary.
Yeah.
Right.
Just, you know, for instance, like this would be to discuss whether or not the item is scribed for Prudential Committee, and you just say the next item is to discuss whether or not the committee should have someone act as a scribe.
So we're going to have
we decided yes, we decided, you know, consensus was yes, it was voted majority, unanimously or whatever.
So we're going to have a person that's going to do a summary and then we're also going to have the minutes done also?
No, minutes, our summary.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. No more detailed minutes, I think, which I think is a shame if you look at you know, other district websites, CLM in particular, you know, their minutes are about 2 paragraphs. There's none on Hyannis' website for Hyannis. What about Barnstable? Do they have their minutes on the website?
They have on the website.
Yeah. And I'd have to look at, I don't think West Barnstable does. I don't know, but I think for people who didn't have the advantage of listening to the tape, the transcriptions let everybody know just exactly what people said and how they voted and the whole.
Yeah. Well, do we have to publish the minutes? We have to have minutes, but they don't have to be published.
No, they don't.
So we could continue to do exactly what we're doing and just have somebody summarize the meeting.
Why not have the person that's transition service that we're using now just have an extra thing they need to do is to summarize?
They don't do that.
No.
No. Yeah. For $1 a page, they don't do that.
Okay.
Four C's might be another place to look.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Kids are always looking to make a little money, or some kids are always looking to make a little money.
Okay. The next is Freedom Hall. As I told it, Mr. Schilling and his clients won't be here today. I had an email from Mark yesterday saying that...
Are they going to sue us instead?
No. Saying that... you know, they didn't, basically they didn't want to discuss it, the use of the parking lot in public. It's the bottom line. So, and they were, you know, they went over their lists of requests, and they're going to cut that back, and then they're going to mail me a letter.
All they have to do is look at the calendar and see the amount of use this building is getting these days.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, what did they expect when they parked next, you know, bought a house right between two active organizations, the district and the lodge?
Yeah, I know. They, so.
It's like parking next to the dump and complaining because it smells, or buying next to the airport
and it's noisy.
Complaining there's noise.
So, you know, I'm certainly not, you know, I've already explained a couple of times our position, and, you know, the, a man named Ken Starr has purchased the Harborview. The Evans home has been sold. So, you know, I wouldn't be at all surprised if the Harborview doesn't get a lot of renovation work, and, you know, I'm not going to let him put...
I'll never forgive Nick Franco for turning that back into a private residence.
Yeah, right.
It was the nicest little bed and breakfast type inn, and a gorgeous place for a wedding.
And he did a not very good job doing that. So, you know.
Is there any way we can accommodate them without?
Not really, Stan. They're talking about bringing heavy equipment in here, tearing up the parking lot, willing to pay for any damages. But, you know, we have things going on here all the time.
Yeah.
And they'd be leaving stuff out there that would be a construction site.
Yep. They're demolishing that house, building a new house, putting in a pool. You know, I'm sure there's going to be a contractor's trailer's going to be sitting there. I came when they had Down Cape Engineering here to look at their septic system. They brought a backhoe on a Bartolotti truck, and the truck was parked on the lodge side and took up the entire side of that parking lot. You know, so... Plus, it's, you know, it's public property, and I don't think we can, you know, say that some private individual can go ahead and use it for their private purpose.
If it were just a question of their workmen parking here during the day, that would be one thing, but it's not.
Yeah.
They want to bring all the...
Yeah.
It's an expensive project.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It would go on for months.
Months. Yeah. And, you know, and we don't have anybody that can police it.
Yeah, not really.
You know.
No, I think they'll probably wind up sneaking stuff in here anyway, no matter what we say.
The radio. I'll borrow Don Campbell's trailer. Park it here and sleep here.
Yeah.
So that's the parking lot. We need to get some... window well covers for the hall, especially the two west window wells. When there's a storm with direct rain, it just leaks through those windows. But they're going to need to be custom. So I'm going to be getting a price for those because they're a very unusual shape. Of course they are. Yeah. And... the last thing is I've gotten a price to add another flood to the front of the building on a motion sensor, so that when the front door is open, that light would come on. And I'd like to put a timer on the control for the light over the front door in these two doors, because I've been, you know, stopping, making frequent stops here to turn those off after there have been activities here.
I left the front light on purpose because it's used a little electricity and it's a great security to leave the lights on. I don't know about the side lights. How do the side lights come on?
They're attached to it.
Oh, the same.
Yeah.
So in other words, okay.
So if anybody goes up in the front, then the motion sensor comes on.
The motion sensor is fine. I don't know if we need another flood for that. But the timer, I guess the timer on that on the front light and the two side lights, that's a good idea.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, because people start to go out, and when you go out, this flood that's up here on the south side of the building doesn't come on until you're almost at the path.
Yeah.
So I think just add another flood and, you know, light it up.
I have a suggestion about the switches in the hall. People try every single one of them to figure out which one's going to turn on what light, and then they don't turn anything off.
Yeah.
So if we just mark the switches, you know,
okay,
like little pieces.
I can do that like I did this one down here.
I mean, I found the light in the attic. I saw it one time when I came in.
Yeah.
I noticed because it was came in here late, so I saw the light was on.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you have your phone with you?
No. Do you?
Have what?
Your phone?
Yeah.
Can you call the fire department and see if Mike's there?
Thanks, we can take care of it.
And while we're at it, let me apologize for causing this meeting to be held on tonight instead of last night.
4220?
No, he won't answer that.
5310?
No,
it's 428.
428.
The Arts and Entertainment needed the Patriot at the Cape Cod Times, and I noticed they still have the Tangle Club listed as Mark's
Yeah, they got it's got changed.
It's got changed now. Okay. Well, I never read that part. I happen to be the day. Well, probably your only problem.
Checks right to tell
yeah,
that
that's
okay?
Fine. That's fine.
So while we're waiting, I'll tell you the Boy Scouts were very appreciative that we changed the day of the meeting. They had their honor council last night, and I guess they had about 50 people here. So that's really good.
Do are we waiting for the district website?
Oh, yeah. I was just going to say the email's working. And
I never did get that one. Still.
Still?
Still.
I'll send Ryan another. I think he probably thinks that you've got it because it's the same one that's connected to Tom's.
Which okay.
Okay. But I'll explain it to him again.
Okay. I didn't realize Tom's was not, never
yep.
thought.
By the way, I said Ryan. Ryan is the guy who's working for. He's a tech.
Yeah.
Engineer. I thought that he was going to send out that email to each one of the people to their personal website on the instructions on how to change it, and they were supposed to get a code and copy the code and send it to. Then I saw you had sent them out individually.
Well, I resent it because when I got it, I thought I was supposed to contact Zoho.
Yeah.
And it wasn't. You just send it back to Ryan, and then he contacted Zoho.
Yeah.
So I figured if I forgot, probably everybody else did.
Okay. It worked out pretty well. Once I got a hold of, who was the first guy? What's his name? Not Ryan, but the guy.
Bill Travers.
Travers was out on vacation and stuff. He was apologetic for not getting back to us. But once I got with him and then Ryan, and it seemed to happen pretty quick.
Yeah. So we just need to get together and see about doing some of our own postings.
Yeah.
So I'm going to talk to Ryan about that. And so did everybody have a chance to review the minutes of the September meeting?
I did. That evening.
Yeah.
You were pretty quick.
So if anybody, is there any corrections or additions? September.
September.
It was September 24th.
September 24th.
I second.
All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Okay. So why don't we just got like going to recess for until Mike gets here?
That sounds fine.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Nice try. So back up to the treasurer search.
Okay.
Saw the ad in the paper.
Yep.
So.
Other than that, things are in progress.
Do you know how many responses we've had, or yeah. No? Okay.
Did we have one response so far?
I think there's some. I'm not sure what kinds or
Chief
how much.
Chief Maruka's getting them.
Correct. They're
yeah.
going to West
yeah.
Carnesville. And they have a meeting on tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night, yeah.
We may find out. And we have contacted Barnstable.
Oh, okay, yeah.
The chief doesn't know if they're interested or not. They do know there's a meeting tomorrow night, so they can come and talk to that board tomorrow night. That's about it.
And the software, financial software.
I sent you that proposal.
Yeah, that's good.
So you can do as you see fit.
Where is it?
The software problems continue. Yeah. Still holding up the free cash package because now that we have slugged our way through 16, we can't get a 17 trial balance out of it that opens up the same as 16 closed. So Tony's dealing with that today. So we'll be happy to install
yeah.
software as soon as you
yeah.
decide to buy it.
So, there are two options for us here. One is to just buy it outright and then pay $2,000+ a year for maintenance and, software help. The other option, which is the same price, but is for the cost of the software to be paid for over 6 years. Along with the routine maintenance, which comes to, can you read this?
2966.50.
No, the next one, the 4,000.
Oh, that's $4,970.75 a year for 6 years.
And that's interest free.
Pretty obvious to me.
Wouldn't make sense to me. Yeah, yeah. So.
Well, I mean, the amount you can earn in a reasonable investment today is negligible. So I think they've learned that municipalities have a way of looking to make it as cheap as they can for themselves, and they're willing to spread the purchase price over the 6 years, and they're locked in for 6 years.
Yeah,
right, locks them in, and so they have a guaranteed stream. I mean, we're just a marginal addition of revenue to them. Their fixed costs are probably already there. So a new client is going to look pretty good to them. If they can get a cash flow of $5,000 a year more over the next 6 years, they're going to think that's a win. So it's a good deal for both parties, I think.
So
and then there's built-ins too up there at the top. You can see they're building in the data conversion and file setup and an installation and 2 days of training.
Right.
So that's built into the price as well. So the purchase price includes the peripherals plus the $14,790 plus the maintenance. So seems like it's a pretty good deal.
Right.
In addition to that, the first year cost and the conversion, I think your price was like $10,000.
Yeah, we wouldn't hit that upper limit, but we've just basically put in five for chart of account development and five for project management, just to give you something that you can work with.
Yeah.
Yeah, it should take either of those fives to get the project done. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we'll cover ourselves because you never know.
And, you know, we're not bad about us.
Well, it's not about you, but software develop, you know, it's good. Tony's got it. We know the system.
Yeah.
We've already built chart of accounts for VADAR, so there's a lot of upside that normally we would have to deal with the unknowns, mm-hmm. and in your case, we don't. So actually, it's the traditional mm-hmm. proposal, but it's a lot easier job for us because we know a lot of it already.
So, Okay, I would like to make a motion that we purchase the software from Vadar and use the six-year plan. Six-year plan?
Six-year plan.
To finance it.
Second motion.
All those in favor?
No.
Aye. Whoops.
I have a question. Where does it just illuminate this for me? Where does the money come from?
Well, we're going to use the budget for the finance department for now and see how the next quarter plays out. You may have to do a supplemental at the district meeting or a reserve fund transfer, but for the time being, we have enough funds in the budget to move forward with it at this level. If you were going to buy it outright, you know, that higher year one cost would have meant that we probably would need you to take a vote to transfer now. It's emergency and unforeseen, this problem. So it falls under the guidelines of the transfer. I don't think you need to transfer the whole $15,000, let's say, for this first-year project right now. Because, as I said, I'm not sure how much it's going to cost for the project implementation side. And the $5,000 that we're going to pay to Vadar is within the realm of possibilities of getting through the budget. We have a fairly heavy legal budget we haven't tapped yet this year. We have some other issues that, you know, where we're making wins and losing a little bit. But I think for the time being, once you've voted, we can use the budget and see where we get to. Then we'll supplant the budget as time goes on, if necessary.
Just refresh my memory. It's more of a technical thing. Does the Prudential Committee have the authority to move money from the reserve account, or do we have to go through the...
Only you. The only party that can do it is the Prudential Committee.
We don't need a vote from the...
No. And you could do that now. You could do that now if you wanted to. Appropriations are voted by district meetings, and that's why I say you could supplant the current year finance department budget within the district meeting. So if the budget is really gets hammered by this, then we can go to district meeting and get it. If it's close or we're playing it cozy out towards the back end of the year and the budget gets hit a little aggressively towards the end, then you may have to supplant it with a transfer. But you'll know by the district meeting if we need a supplemental appropriation. I think we can handle it through the reserve fund transfer. And you could vote that today if you wanted to and just put $15,000 in to the department budget, and that would be in there, and then at the end of the year it would just close the surplus. But you may need something from the reserve fund between now and then. Yeah, I think that's fair. Mm-hmm. You know, and certainly come January we'll know if the department budget is in stress or strain, and you can do a transfer then even before the district meeting.
Yeah, we'd wait for the 6 months. We know where we are.
That's generally the way we recommend most governments do it, is just keep working with the budget and hope you can make it out the back end with everything we've budgeted. And if not, you have two alternatives. So we're in good shape. And this is the prudent way to do it.
And I'm ready to vote.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. So moved.
All right. Thank you very much. I'll let the contractor know. They'll probably have a contract to us, and we'll set some things up, and we'll try to get this going. Ideally, we need to have the current system clean when we bring it across, but we can be working in two worlds at the same time, setting up the one and still managing through on this one until we get it clean, and then we'll cut off maybe first of the year.
Is there any compatibility between the database we're using now and the database that Vadar is using, or is it just electronically move the whole?
Yeah, and that's what's on that list of file conversion. The file conversion, the data that we do use in one, and I'm not sure on the migration to the other, is like the vendor file. We're going to pay the same electric company, the same, you know, automobile supply house. So our entire vendor file ideally could be ported across. That's the kind of stuff we'll try to do. Yeah. So we don't have to rekey name and address, et cetera, of every vendor that we do business with. Although the file is it needs some cleanup anyway, because we've lost a lot of vendors in the past 5 years that we don't use anymore, or one-timers and so forth. So we'll try the best we can to do the, you know, copy files over. As far as the transaction data goes, there's nothing to copy. The only thing we'll drop in from the old system is the balance at the time of the conversion that's on the trial balance. So that we will prepare a single Excel file. So we'll just drop in all the accounts. We'll copy that out of a new file, drop in the balances, give it to them, and they'll upload that. So we won't have to key that either. But we'll have to key it into the file.
I suspect that a problem we're having with the current vendor. When do we need to go to order?
Well, the file for 16, we have wrestled our way through. That's gone up to the Bureau. The free cash is in play. And so the ending trial balance in the current software is done and clean. Right? So now they have a procedure where you roll the balances forward, and we did that. And they all didn't come. Three accounts didn't come forward. We already told them this account didn't come forward, this account didn't come forward, and this account didn't come forward. Please get that into the, because we have debits that don't equal credits right now in 2017. Then on top of it, we have transaction issues. Every time she runs a warrant, it's misfiring. It's supposed to hit insurance withholding, and it blows up, and it can't find that account, so it doesn't post that piece of the journal entry. So it's really, it's like it's hiccuping. There's something internal within their code that's causing it to malfunction, and every time it doesn't properly post a transaction, we get two or three sides of, say, a four-sided entry, but we don't get that fourth side. So it's very, very...
It doesn't pay to, like, reload the probe software and start from the beginning.
Yeah. This company has been fraught with problems since the day I walked into your lives. And it's just never worked the way it's supposed to work. It must have been a cheap, low-life, low-rent type of software. I've never heard of them until I came here. And I've been in Massachusetts government finance for 35 years. So I don't know a single other Massachusetts municipality that uses it. I've never run across it in my career. I've never spoken to another public official that uses it. So I'm sure there may be some out there, but I don't think it's worth putting any more time in. Every single year we've tried to close these books, we've had problems. And it's taken me a month or 6 weeks longer to do it here than it takes in West Barnstable.
Okay.
So the last item is at the last Fire Commissioners meeting, they had several motions for funds for an attorney for the union negotiations and funds for the chief search. And so I went last week, I guess, so sat down with Mike, and we went through the budget, and there's sufficient funds in the budget to cover those items. There's $35,000 was in the budget specifically, you know, for the union negotiations.
I think it was 25.
35.
Okay, I know the fire commissioners were concerned about having a special district meeting.
Yeah, no.
Not necessary.
Not necessary. So.
Again, that's the kind of thing that you tough it out, try and get through with the budget, stay on top of it. If it gets burned up, then use the reserve fund to transfer. That's why it's not prudent necessarily to transfer all of the 15 right now. You might only need to move five, and you might need to move five to the fire department to true up the balances in that particular budget as well. So same basic theory is there's enough money in the budget right now.
Yeah.
They can execute, go out to bid, execute contracts, and monitor their budget. And if it gets stressed out, we'll deal with it.
Yeah. So we, you know, and I let the chairman of the fire commissioners made him aware that we were not going to need a special meeting.
Now, under union negotiation, as long as you're on that, briefly, and there's a lot of information coming down, even today there was stuff coming in. The Cape Cod Municipal Health Group met this week.
That's what the acronym is.
Cape Cod, CCMHG?
Okay.
Okay. And so that's the joint purchase group that basically sells insurance to 50 odd governments in the Cape and Islands area, and you belong to it. And there are several pieces of negotiations that came out of the meeting just this past week, last week. Some are going to use the expedited negotiations process that's provided in the Chapter 32B that the district's already voted. Those sections of law, we've used it in prior years. to fast track and to basically reprogram the existing plans to reconcile back to the GIC, as they call it in Massachusetts, the Massachusetts Health Plan. So that's done through the expedited negotiations, but it needs conversation with the bargaining unit. So that needs to flow into the bargaining group. And then there's some new plans being offered, which I'll send you some information, but your negotiating group needs to take a look at that as well. And those new plans are basically high deductible plans with a health savings account attached to it that's employer-provided as well as employee-provided. It's pretty complicated stuff, but it's going to be available as of July 1 from the joint purchasing group. So if your bargaining unit and your negotiating team want to bring that forward, it's available July 1 as well. So you have two things to negotiate if so desired. One's an absolute, one's an option. And then the other votes were basically just setting rates for the elderly health insurance plans to kick in January 1, and a change to the joint purchasing agreement itself. So two changes that really don't affect us much at all, and two changes that kind of go towards the group that's negotiating.
Now, when I heard the town treasurer, Deborah Blanchett, discuss it at the town council meeting, she made sound like, are they going to have all those options available, or are they going to consolidate some options?
Those options?
You know, the options for, you know, what health insurance, which plan you choose.
No, everything that exists
will exist.
Remains.
Okay.
And then there's two providers, one product that Blue Cross provides, and one, whatever iteration they're in, Harvard, Pilgrim, whatever. There's going to be one product from each of those providers. You currently have those two providers
right.
in your array, and you don't offer, I don't believe, everything that exists in the group purchasing arrangement now. But the ones you have will be there. And on top of it, the folks that like either the Harvard or Pilgrim or whatever, Tufts or whatever it is, or like the Blue Cross, the same plan will be available, only will have a higher deductible and a health savings. Unless the bargaining unit and the negotiating team agree to take available plans out of the mix, then that's why I say it's a totally optional thing. You don't have to do anything.
Okay.
The plans will remain in place come July 1. They're just adding one Pilgrim or Harvard and one Blue Cross that offers a higher deductible than the existing plan and adds a health savings account component to it. So it's strictly a negotiated item. Nothing changes unless the bargaining unit and management negotiate a change. And it's the same for Barnstable.
Okay.
They can't just carte blanche dump a plan. All plans have to, the unions have, and they have like multiple unions down there. So
yeah.
She may have been a little confused because it sounds like she waited. She didn't wait for all of the relevant information that helps the decision makers and stakeholders understand what's going on. They were sending out stuff yesterday. They've been sending out stuff today. I told Tony last week that I would send you stuff this week once we had everything down. For example, all of the senior products are going up on January 1st. I believe you only have two in your mix. Right? So there's about seven of them. One's going up 22%, but I don't think you even offer that. So there are different products that are available in the group purchase, you know, Cape Cod Municipal Health Group, that you don't even have in your list of plans that haven't ever been introduced. So there are others you could bring in as well, but I think simpler is better, and right now you have the two primary providers and basically a PPO and an HPO, and those are basically the four that I think you offer, and they're just going to add another set of the exact same thing, only with much higher deductibles and health savings. Yeah. And that's thought to be a savings for both employer and employee. But it takes a leap of faith by the employees, particularly, to move to that product line. And that's why it's a total optional negotiation, and that's why the parties that are at the table or starting to come to the table can quickly decide and determine whether it's something they want to include this time around or wait 3 years or wait a year to do. The only thing that we need to deal with through the expedited negotiation process is the changes to the co-pays, which are really what changed to bring it in line with the GIC. Those can be done through basically just straight votes because we have accepted the state laws. And then the carrot for that stick is that, if you recall, we have to give the employees 25% of the savings.
Right.
So there's not going to be a lot of savings. They're talking something under 2% through these adjustments on the co-pays. So it's not like it's going to be a big deal. Right? And so that we'll do through negotiations and through the expedited process. That's not an option that has to be dealt with because those plans are only going to be available with those choices at, okay, at July 1. As far as the health savings account and the high deductible plans, strictly negotiable, and they will be augmenting the existing plan. So if you vote to bring them in and offer them to the employees, then you would basically offering six plans instead of four. That's it. And that's the same for every employer of the 53-odd or 55-odd that are in the group. So those will, and the expectation is there'll be very few July 1s because there's not a lot of time between now and July to completely radicalize and introduce this stuff. And certainly the representatives of the bargaining units that were at the meeting last week and the first meeting we started discussing this in July, and even we had a manager's meeting last month, the bargaining units, the professional negotiators, the teachers union negotiators, the fire professionals union negotiators, they've been attending and they've been adding their 2 cents worth to the just to the insurance company, never yeah. mind to the parties that have to negotiate with them. So it's clearly something that they're not real enthralled with.
I'm sure.
And management needs to learn as well as labor. So probably be something that might not happen for this next go-round, but it needs to be talked about with the bargaining unit during the negotiations. And I'll flow that stuff in over the next week or so now.
Great.
Okay.
So anything else? Anything else?
No.
I'll accept a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second. All the rest of this agenda you did already?
Yeah. Yes, we left.
Oh, I see. So that's what I said. Is it over? And you said,
No, we waited.
So the light contract is all set. The hearing set for November 14th?
Yep.
Okay. And then your Scribner and the lights from the district website.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm sorry I held you up.
That's okay. It's fine. So we're adjourned.
Well, you were right across the street from me. You could have come over and got me.
I didn't even notice whether your car was there or not.
Yeah, everybody was driving me about the yellow.